We have the subject this afternoon of the will of God or the call of God, whichever we wish. When I was younger, I heard many preachers preaching, and they gave you the feeling that if you weren't a missionary, you weren't a minister, you weren't in the will of God. But that's not true. You don't have. I remember speaking to a man, he was a lay preacher, and I said, did God ever call you to Bible school? He said, no, not at all. I drive a lorry. He said, that's my job. And sometimes we get this feeling that just because you're an ordinary worker, you're not doing what God wants you to do. But God has us placed everywhere in his will, in his calling. And each one of us are different and placed in different places for a purpose. Now, there's hindrances to the will of God and the call of God, and there's helps to the will of God. Daniel, if you read the book of Daniel, he was there, and the principalities and powers, the hidden work of Satan, hindered Daniel. The hindering of God's will, hindrance of God's word. Daniel 10 and 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So there was the powers of evil and the principalities of evil were hindering his walk in the will of God. Jonah, well, he had a problem. It says there's a text in Jonah. Maybe Reverend Knowles can take it up someday and preach on it. It speaks about lying vanities. It's a cracker, as we say at home. It's a good one. Lying vanity. Jonah had political prejudices that held him back from doing the will of God joyfully. Those Ninevites were enemies of Israel. There was bloodshed, broken homes, lives, and Jonah didn't like them. In fact, Jonah hated them. Jonah's attitude was, I'm a prophet to Israel, not to Nineveh. If they want to go to hell, let them go to hell. I want Israel saved. So Jonah had a problem with his politics and prejudice. And then we have go to the New Testament. People say, oh, you're always in the Old Testament. Go to the New Testament. You have Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas worked alongside with Paul. Paul wouldn't be easy worked with. It was all go. Those times Paul refused to take the ship. He'd rather walk and meet people. And Paul never seemed to annoy him if he had money in his pocket, or he didn't. He was poor. He didn't even have a second coat to wear. And Demas was with him. And now, we're not saying Demas went away into the world of drunkenness or anything like that. Demas, he was tired of persecution, prison, poverty. He was tired of the hardships. So the hindrances to the work of God we find in Daniel, Jonah, and Demas. Principalities and powers, politics, prejudices, and Demas there, you could put poverty and persecution there, hindering the work and the will of God and the way of God. If you want to think of someone in the Bible that helped in the work of God was Elijah. He helped Elisha, didn't he? Oh, I liked Elijah. Even though Elijah had bad times and difficult times, he goes alongside Elisha. He says, you come work with me. Elisha says, well, I want to go, but I need to say goodbye to my family. And we'll have a, it was interesting by the way, we'll have a steak meal. A steak meal before we go. I thought that was amazing. Elisha had a meal with his family, killed the cow, bullock, sirloin steaks, T-bone steaks, a whole lot. French fries and rice. And he said goodbye and he went with Elisha to help each other. Man, it's lovely when somebody older or younger joins alongside to help each other. Oh my, Jesus came alongside Matthew and Mark and Luke. Oh man. And Barnabas. What about Barnabas? I liked him. Barnabas, he said, we could do with a good man. I'm going to go and find Saul of Tarsus or Paul. I'll find him. And he wouldn't have been easy found, by the way. Helpers. The place of helping. Yeah. Paul. Helped by Barnabas. Overcome his prejudices to go to the Gentiles. A Jew, a devout Jew, going to preach to the Gentiles. Helped by Barnabas. We come to our passage that we read about this man, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in Babylon. Nehemiah was a prisoner. Oh, yes, I know people say he had a good job. Yes, but he was a captive. He was still a Jewish prisoner. And he says there he was the king's cupbearer. He had a good job. Or was it? Now he got a taste of all the nice food. If the king was having roast beef, he would taste it. If whatever wines or drinks, he would have to taste them. But if there was poison in them, Nehemiah would die first. He'd be ill first. So he had a good job, and more than likely, with his job, he'd have a house, and he'd have all the clothing he would want, and the dress, and rules, and so forth. He was near the king. And he goes home this day from work. Remember, this Nehemiah is a prisoner, just doing his normal day's work. Walking with God in his normal day's work. In the palace, yes. He wasn't the king. He wasn't anything special. He was just a worker. And he goes home, and this man Hananiah, one of my brethren, verse 2, and he came certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning, they're sitting having a chat, maybe about the supper together, and talking about Israel, and how's it going back home. You know what it's like, you've done that. You meet someone from back home, your own home country, well, how's things back over there? And you're having a wee chat, oh, and they says, it's terrible. Nehemiah says, what's wrong? He says, the walls are broken down. The doors are smashed up. The wild animals just run in and out of your streets of Jerusalem. And it's the sepulchres. You know the grave. You know your mum and dad's grave. Well, that's just trampled into a mess. And nobody seems to care what's taking place. Israel, Jerusalem is in a bad state. Oh, they said we need men and women to rise up in Israel and do a bit of work. Clean the place. Now they had a little bit of a temple built, but under Ezra. So just in casual conversation, God speaks to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. God speaks to Nehemiah in a casual conversation. I hear people saying, oh, God called me to do a certain job. And there was a flash of lightning and the roof lifted off the house and the whole place shook. And God spoke to me and I'll never be the same again. It wasn't like that for Nehemiah, friend. Nehemiah, he's just sitting there having a, as we would say, a supper together and they're having a chat. And God puts it on his heart. God speaks to Nehemiah. I want you to do a job for me. And this burden comes unexpected on us. But sure, Lord, I can't do the job. I'm here in Babylon. I'm a prisoner in Babylon. I'm the king's cupbearer. I'm fairly well off. I'm comfortable. Lord, go and get somebody else. That's what we say, isn't it? Here am I, Lord, sent my cousin. And Nehemiah gets this burden in his heart. And he says, I know what I'll do. He gets a little bit of time and he goes away in and he prays about it. And he said, I'm going to pray about this burden. You know, sometimes you have a wee burden in your heart and you go away and you pray about it and you leave it with the Lord and you walk away and the burden disappears. It's wonderful. It's brilliant. You go out and you feel, oh, brilliant. Praise the Lord, I'm a Pentecostal. And he goes in and he prays. And then he suddenly finds the tears are running down his cheeks and he's weeping. He's praying and he's weeping for Israel. And instead of the burden getting lighter, it gets heavier. And it won't go away. And he prays and he weeps over this. Oh, the burden's taking. He fasts. He's praying and weeping so much he doesn't have time to go in to make himself some food. This burden has got a hold of his heart. And where is he? It's in secret. Nobody knows a thing about it. Hananiah and the men from Jerusalem, they're probably way back home again. There's only him and the Lord knowing what the burden is. Nice that, I like that. You see, what has happened here, Nehemiah's gone on his normal duty as a Christian man, doing his work day by day. He meets up with Hananiah, this burden comes in his heart, and he decides to leave it with the Lord, and he begins to pray. And as he prays and he weeps, he gets closer to the Lord. Yeah, and the Lord gets closer to him. So close that he says, the Lord's hand is upon me. Wow, I like that. The Lord's hand is upon me. As you see, when you get close to the God of mercy and the God of grace and the God of forgiveness, and he begins to pray, and he prays here, and he confesses the sins of Israel, he confesses his own sin, and he sees God as a kind, oh my. And then he says, Lord, you just come with me. He's got close to the Lord, and he wants to walk with the Lord. Where's he going? Back to work. Go back to the palace. He maybe had a wee holiday or a break. Maybe it was half term. I'm not sure. Halloween term, whatever they call these things. Any excuse for a holiday. But he was off this little bit, and he's been praying, he's been weeping, and he goes back to work. And he goes into work. And he's sad. Now, you weren't supposed to be sad when you went in before the king. He just removed you because those happier people. We have the process here. He's been told and witnessed to there's a problem in Israel. He goes in and he prays and he weeps and he goes back to his normal duties. Chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in the month Nisan, the 20th year Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Every morning he went in with a smile on his face. Every morning, happy day. He enjoyed his work. I'm a prisoner, I'm a captive, I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to enjoy every day. I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. And he goes into the work. And by the way, he was a worker. He was already in the place God wanted him to be. Sometimes, if I was living down there in the south of England, I'd be happy. If I was living up there in Scotland, if I was over in Africa, if I was a missionary in Dublin, if I was in Switzerland, yeah. If I was just where God wants me to be, well, that's brilliant. Wherever that is. If that is a missionary like Joanne Greer in Liberia, wonderful. She's safer in Liberia than she is back home in Ballymena. Nehemiah was a worker, friend, and he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do day by day. With a smile. Smile. Happy. But this burden has got on his heart. And he was sad. He's sad, but listen, he's honest. He's honest. That's the mark of a Christian, by the way. Honesty. There's times we have to be quiet and walk away, surely. But here's a man, and he's gone into work. There's a burden in his heart. It's just between him and the Lord. He says, Lord, go with me into my work, that this will work out. He's honest. He goes in before the king, and the king says, you're sad today. What's wrong? Verse 2, chapter 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? It's sorrow of heart. And then he said, I was sore afraid. He's very human, isn't he? He's got the shakes. He's scared. This could be death for him. But he's not going to lie. Whether he lives or dies, he's not going to tell the lie. He says, O king, I'm sad because back home in Israel, the city's a mess. The walls are broken down. The doors are burnt with fire. The wild animals just roam through the streets of Jerusalem, and the graveyards and everything. There's no deception. There's no lying. There's no hypocrisy. Chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. He just sends a quick prayer. Oh God, help me. I'm scared. I'm so afraid. All of God's children aren't full of courage, by the way. Every child of God has a time of fear. Paul, in the New Testament, you read how many times he was afraid. And here he's afraid. Nehemiah says a short prayer, quick request. Verse 8. The letter's given to him to get, he's got the job. And then the last part of verse 8. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. He's only a working man. He's a prisoner. He's working before the king. It's a fairly dangerous job. He could get poisoned very quickly. But he says, the good hand of my God is upon me. If you're saved, know the Lord is your Savior, friend. The good hand of God is upon you. Yeah. And if the good hand of the Lord is upon us, then it makes us willing to work for him, whatever the job may be. Better be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Some of the little jobs we get to do. Ah, but God was calling Nehemiah to be a preacher. No. God was calling Nehemiah to a big church back in Jerusalem. No. He wasn't going to be going to preach. He was going to be a builder. He was going to have to get his coat off and mix cement, get stones, build stones, get men to help him. He's going to have to go and survey it and look at it. Going to have to get the dirt out of the way and the muck out of the way and the rubbish out of the way. And he wasn't going to be a preacher. He wasn't going to be a missionary. But he's willing to do what God wants him to do. As I said last week, if you want to read a good book or learn of a good missionary, Robert Moffat, who went to South Africa, he built houses, he built church, he built walls, he dug drains. He learned how to weld metal together in the forge that he might do what God wanted him to do. God has a specific work for every child of his. You say, oh, I don't know what God wants me to do. You'll never know what God wants you to do till you get up and do something. While I was in the way, the Lord led me. Yeah. Oh, God, I'd love to be a missionary in Africa. I'd love to go and do a work for God in London. No, you watch what God takes, and God takes workers. And Nehemiah was a worker. Nehemiah was up early in the morning and went to work smiling, rejoicing that he was the king's cupbearer, serving the Lord in a prison, as it were, as a captive. Don't let the devil oppose what God wants you to do, friend. And whenever you go to do something, do it well. We were saying the other day, Moses' mother made a little basket and she made it well. She made it very well because it didn't sink, it didn't take in water. She made it that well the crocodiles wouldn't even eat it. I wonder who made the rope that Rahab put out the window to let the spies down the wall. The rope was well made, it didn't break when they were half down. And when God asks you to do something, my, go and do it well and enjoy doing it. This is the meaning here. Whatever that may be, he wasn't going to be a preacher. Don't let the opposition, don't let prejudice and politics. Ah, hold on a minute. Politics were encouraging Nehemiah to go back home. He was a Jew. Politics hindered Jonah from going to Nineveh. But politics would have been encouraging him. See, you got to be careful. Every individual has a different walk with God. Because it's very personal. Prejudices, poverty, persecution. Now, very quickly we must move, because when Nehemiah decides to go, he gets the permission of the king. Opposition comes. All them that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer some form of persecution. There will be an opposition, friend. It's like Westminster up there, those in government and those opposed to government, and they're all doing a great job. We have the opposition. Chapter 2 and verse 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly. And there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Even before he gets to Jerusalem, there's opposition. Oh my, that word grief means murmuring. I don't know what he's calling here for. A man coming to Israel to sort the walls out. One man coming. What's he going to do? And they begin to murmur. And by the way, the enemies were watching to see what was taking place. And they were talking, and they were complaining, and they were out to discourage the man of God. There'll be those that want to discourage you. When I wanted to go to Bible school at the start, some encouraged and some discouraged me. Some told me to go away home and learn to live for God at home. There's so many today, and they want to hinder the work of God. They want to murmur. But it says there was a man come to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Here's a man with a burden in his heart. Here's a man with a zeal. Here's a man with a spring in his step. Here's a man with a willing mind, obedient feet, working hands. And he said, the hand of God which is good upon me. He said, God's hand's on me. I'm not worried about Tobiah, Sanballat. Chapter 2, verse 19. Then Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, Geshem, the Arabian, heard, they laughed us to scorn, despised us. What is this thing that ye do? So they've added to their number. They mock him. They laugh. Now we don't like being laughed at, sure we don't. Here's Nehemiah, they're murmuring, they're mocking him, they're laughing. Chapter 4, verse 1, it came to pass that Sanballat heard that we builded the wall. He was wroth. Took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Spake before his servants, his brethren, the army of Samaria. What do these feeble Jews? There's added to them. There's two became three, became an army now. They're mad. Indignation means madness. They're stirring up. The opposition's getting greater. What's Nehemiah do? I'm sorry, I wish I'd have stayed in Babylon. No. I'm not getting out of bed this morning because people don't like me. You ever feel like it? Some people do that. They don't love me anymore, so I'm not getting out of bed. I'm walking away. Somebody else can clean the church. Somebody else can teach Sunday school. I'm not getting involved in it. Nehemiah didn't do that, friend. Man, chapter 4, verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised. He prays. Turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the Lord, builders. So built we the wall. Man, the more they criticized, the bigger the opposition got, the harder he was. He went for it. Ooh, did he what? They'll not stop us. I don't care, should there be a row of opposition, we'll build this wall. Come on, get that machine going, get that mortar mix. Come on, bring more stones in there. You boys, don't be sitting about. Come on, get up there and get going. Let's get this wall finished. What an attitude. What do they say? Lord, those opposition, don't forgive them. Deal with them. Yeah. We don't pray that way today, sure we don't. Chapter 5, we'll skip chapter 5. That's internal strife between some of them. But they got it sorted. They had a problem with farms and money and so forth there. Nehemiah steps in and he told them. He says, your internal problem is because, chapter 5, verse 15, the last part, because of the fear of God. They'd lost the fear of God. They get it dealt with and they move on into chapter 6. The opposition's still there. They're busy. I like Nehemiah. He just did the work. He just got on with it. The more opposition, the harder he worked. We come to chapter 6 and verse 2. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Come on, let's have a meeting. Let's sit down and we'll sort these problems out. Let's have a, I don't think you have these over here, mind you, an ecumenical gathering. A charismatic meeting that we'll all put our arms around each other. You see them doing this at the football matches sometimes. They put our arms around, all hug each other. Oh, we love each other. And then they get drunk that night and they beat the lightning of each other. Isn't that right? Let's have a meeting. In the valley, I like where they were holding it. In the valley of Ono. Oh no, I'm not going. Oh no. Let's have a meeting. But they wanted to do Nehemiah mischief. They wanted to plan some way of hurting him, maybe killing him. But they wanted to plan that this work would stop for him. The devil doesn't like the job you do. The devil doesn't like you. Because every day you go into work, you're a little light shining for Christ. You go into that office, up to that flat, wherever it may be, downtown, shopping, whatever it is, you're a little light shining for Christ. Boy, the devil would love to put your light out, as we say. Let's have a meeting. Let's have an ecumenical gathering. Let's get us all together. Let's cool down your zeal. Look, Nehemiah, settle down. Don't be so enthusiastic. But it would lead to disobedience. When Pilgrim was on his journey to the Celestial City, he came to the Hill of Difficulty. And he was tired. And his feet were sore. And he thought, oh, if I could only get an easier path than this. Why is the journey to the Celestial City so hard? I'm tired. Look, I see a path. And up the Hill of Difficulty, and his feet were sore, he's very tired. There was a little stile, as we call it, you could climb over. And there's a nice green path, and it looked so smooth and comfortable. No rough stones or anything like that. And he says, that path's going in the same direction. I'll take that path. And it's called Bypath Meadows. Meadows, nice and soft in the feet. So he climbed over the stile, and he walked around Bypath Meadows. And he was very tired, so he lay down and he fell asleep. And when he woke up, he was in Doubting Castle. Giant despair. The little path turned out to be a terrible, difficult way. Bypath Meadows. How many Christians, friend, have gone into Bypath Meadows thinking, if I go to that other, whatever, something else, a different job, somewhere, a different church, it'll all be so much easier. I think of a friend, and he was a preacher, I think they called it the holy rulers in those days. And they would have their meetings, and they would go on in their meetings to 2 and 3 in the morning, and they would clap and sing and clap and sing and so forth. But he took ill, he took cancer. He was only in his 50s. And after the illness came, very acute, he turned to my father and he says, "I don't think I'm saved at all. I've had a religious experience, but I know not Christ as my Savior." Some of you know the Reverend Stanley Barnes. They brought Stanley Barnes up to the house, and he pointed the man to Christ. Be careful with Doubting Castle. Be careful that it's the Lord that's leading you in that new path. What is Nehemiah say, chapter 6, verse 1, 2, 3? "I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave and come down to you? Lord, I'm doing a great work. I'm not bothered with that lot. I'm not going to even let the work slow up. I'm not going to their ecumenical meeting." Now, that wasn't the end of the opposition, by the way. Very quickly, chapter 6, verse 10. "Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, a son of Meharabel, who was shut up. And he said, 'Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee.' And I said, 'Shoot such a man as I flee.'" They send him a prophet, a preacher. He says, "You know, they're going to kill you. If you come to the temple and you and I shut ourselves in the temple, we'll be safe. We'll be in the house of God together." Nehemiah says, "No, that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to mix cement and build stones. And then once we get the walls built, I'm called to be a joiner, a carpenter. I'm called to cut wood and put the gates up and put the posts up. I'm not called to be in the temple, hiding. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide it. Shoot such a man as I flee." Verse 12 says, "And I perceived that God had not sent him." I perceived. There'll be all kinds of opposition, friend, to try and bring you and I out of the will of God. When I was younger, they used to talk about God's second best. God's second best. We're not going on to it any further, but chapter 6 goes on down about marriage. It wasn't Nehemiah's marriage, it was the children. They began to enter marriage and carry stories and problems and so forth. Conspiracy theories, I presume, on the internet or something like that, YouTube or some of these things they were on. What have we learned? We learn that God has a special purpose for you and me in life. You say, "But Reverend Baxter, I'm only a wee housewife." John Wesley's mother said that. She said, "All I have got's my children to rear." Boy, she did it. She did it well, didn't she? Yeah. I'm only a factory worker. But that's what God wants you to do. And wherever he has placed you, he wants you to do it and do it well. He wants you to go in the morning to enjoy the work with the hand of God upon you. Whether you're going to be the new minister in the church here or whether you're going out to sweep the streets. I had a man in Belfast I knew, and I was talking to him one day and I said, "No, and what do you work at?" He says, "I sweep the streets in Belfast." I said, "Boys, that's a good job, because there's a good pension with that one." "So there is." "Ah," he says, "they know I'm a Christian." I said, "I'm glad to know that. I wear out more brush heads than any man in Belfast. They know I'm a Christian." I thought that's a good testimony. He could work. God wants you and I to serve him wherever he has placed us. And to do it joyfully. To do it happily. To do it for the Lord. Now, you don't know what's around the corner. You don't know where he wants you to be in days to come. My own life, never would have dreamed what the Lord had for me. Your life, the Lord has wonderful things for you and I. Nehemiah, you're a captive in Babylon. Sure, you'll never be anywhere but he was. God took him out of that captivity and he placed him in Israel again. Didn't give him a palace, he gave him a bit of a house to live in, pretty rough, I would think. But he built the walls. If you go to Jerusalem today, there's parts of the walls in Jerusalem that Nehemiah built. They're not all built by Nehemiah, by the way, for there's been wars and all since. But if you check it out, there's still some of the walls that Nehemiah built there today.